To think that God, by His own choice, would speak to me.
Yes, hallelujah.
I don't even know if it makes me rejoice. I don't even think that's a strong enough word for me this morning.
Come on.
On how that makes me feel deep inside to know that God is still speaking to us today. Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much. What a wonderful reminder it is of just how much that God loves each and every one of us to know that He takes the time to still speak to us. It makes me rejoice. It makes me happy. It makes this old Presbyterian almost want to run, but I ain't going to. Now many of you know that we have worship coordinators each and every Sunday that kind of help us, and you know, they tell us where to go and they tell us what to do, the ushers and the servers and everybody. And now on the third Sunday of each month, they have the unfortunate privilege of having me as their worship coordinator. And many people have heard me say these words: "Sugar baby, darling, dumpling, love, were you so-and-so? Don't you want to do so-and-so today?" You see, I found in my, however how many years it is, if JR can't tell, I ain't gonna tell, that you get a lot more with honey than you do with vinegar. Now, I don't know, we have just spent, this makes the fourth week that we at church on Sunday morning have been in the book of Ephesians. And I want to share with you just a few snippets this morning of what Paul said in the first three chapters, because I really believe he was buttering us up. Listen to what he had to say. In the first chapter, he says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins in accordance with His riches and God's grace that He has lavished on us." Now in the second chapter he goes on to say, "Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not for yourselves or from yourselves. It's a gift. It's a gift from God, not by works so that nobody can boast, but for all who believe in Him. This is God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God has prepared each one of us to do in advance." And finally, in the third chapter, he says, "And I pray that you be rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure with God's grace." Now, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but between the song this morning and scriptures like that, my bread's buttered on both sides. I'm ready for whatever it is. You see, that's what Paul was wanting to do. Because, now I guess if you were technically, and you know you'd been to school, which I hadn't, you would first call those first three chapters theology. You would call these next three chapters, the fourth, fifth, and sixth, and the fourth's only one I'm going to work on today. Don't get excited. But you would call these next four chapters practical application. How do you take all of these wonderful things that I just read off to you about what God did for each one of us, and how do you put it into use in each of our lives today, not only in the lives of ourselves, but also in the lives of the church? That's what I want to spend just a few moments talking with you about this morning. In a sermon I just happened to steal from a couple of movies, a couple of songs, and maybe even a book, "All for One, and one for all, would you go with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. I want to say thank you for this opportunity that you have blessed me with to bring your word. But now, Lord, I want to ask a favor from you. I want you to take me out of the way this morning. Let me go sit down somewhere, and I just want you to use me today. I am a willing vessel. I turn this message over to you, Lord. May it be what each of us, including me, needs to hear today on how to be all for one and one for all. If all these things be in the holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen. The central theme for today's message is about unity and spiritual maturity. Now, Sean did an excellent job reading that extended reading. I know that was a big one for you, but she did a great job. And so when I got to thinking about maturity, you know, you think about it as you get older. Now, I'm not going to get into the fact that, you know, women supposedly mature faster than men and all like that. I ain't gonna meddle that way. Trust me, I meddle enough, but it ain't going to be that way. But I got to thinking, you know, we're about to celebrate our 35th anniversary here at Covenant, coming up next February. And so I thought, well, how old are some of the churches around us and maybe Alabama and all? So I got to looking. You know, I don't know what we did for Google, but that's what helped me along. The oldest church in the state of Alabama was established in the mid-1700s, and it's the Cathedral of Immaculate Conception in Mobile, Alabama. Now, the oldest in the church in the United States is from the 1600s. Now, if you look comparatively to our little 35 years and 100 and 200 plus years, we look like little babies, don't we? But I'm going to tell you something. Last Sunday morning, standing up there in that fellowship hall, watching people pack lunches for 600 people that they didn't even know, or maybe it was 600 lunches or 600 lunches for people that they'd never met, they didn't know, that made me feel like we're pretty good. Even though we ain't but 35 years old, we're pretty good on our way on our spiritual unity and our maturity. And so I want just a minute for everybody who took part. It don't matter whether you donated money, if you packed lunches, if you delivered, whatever you did, if you took part, stand up this morning. I just want to say thank you. I'm telling you, there was bags flying everywhere last week. I just had to stop and watch. But I want to share something with you. That's exactly what Paul was talking about this morning when he was talking about unity. Unity in our church. Everybody coming together for a common good. That's what he meant. He said this morning, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now notice he said that you have to keep the unity. He didn't say you had to make it. Jesus Christ already made the unity. He did that on the cross. He did that when he was resurrected. And he did that when he ascended into heaven. You don't have to make the unity, but what you do have to do, what you are charged with, is to keep that unity. We do that in many ways. We do that through next Saturday when we host our sister church coming from Huntsville. We do that. We keep the unity in the church when we meet with our four sister churches here in Birmingham. And now we have an opportunity to continue meeting the needs of this community through the food pantry. God has given us such a wonderful opportunity to do exactly what he has called us to do, and that is to promote unity in the community. But now that's the church. The church is good. We got that. We just have to keep going. We got this momentum. We just have to keep it going. Now that's the church. And I told you that Paul was writing to the church and to each other. Now I'm going to meddle in our lives a little bit. We're also called to live a life worth living. Paul said in verse 1, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Now let's look at what 1 Peter says about that. 1 Peter says in the second chapter, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You see, in order for us to truly understand what it means to live a life worthy of our calling, we've got to first understand who we've been called to be. And that is a royal priesthood. We've been called and chosen by God as his special possession. God doesn't care for any one person on the face of this earth any more than he does for another. We live each and every moment of our lives under the care and the watchful gaze of Jesus Christ, who wraps us in his arms of grace, who loves us each and every day, none any more than the other, no matter what we've done or what we do. He went on to say, verse 4 through 6, there's one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all things, through all things, and in all things. You see, God gave his all. He gave his Son, so that each one of us might know and come to understand that he did that for us. I bet you can't understand where I got the all for one and one for all. You see, that's what God did for us. So all he asks in return is that we be all in for him. Paul went on to tell us even how to do this. He said, be humble, be gentle, be patient, be bearing with one another, making every effort to keep the unity. Now, he went on in verse 15 and he said to speak the truth in love. So now I'm about to do that as best I can. But in order to be humble, to be gentle, to keep the peace and unity, sometimes we just have to get over ourselves. If you walk around and you have the attitude that you are better than somebody, if you feel like you have done more, God loves you more, or you give more, you can't be humble. You can't be gentle. You can't be any of those things. But likewise, just in turn, if you walk around and you feel like that the Lord is after you, nobody loves you, the world is a horrible place and it's out to get you, then you can't live a life where you feel like you are part of the royal priesthood that you've been called to be. We have to consciously make a decision each and every day. We have to choose what we want to be. It doesn't matter what our circumstances are going on around us. We can still make a choice to love the Lord and to love each other. Even when it's not the easiest thing to do, we can still do that. Not only can we still do that, but God made it easier. Listen to what he said in the first chapter. He said, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit and wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may come to know hope, which he has called each of you for. You don't have to make that decision on your own. You have somebody right there with you each and every day that's ready to walk with you. What was it? I'm going to paraphrase what Susan said last week. If you don't like where your plane is flying, maybe you should stop being the one to fly. Just saying. Ladies and gentlemen, I come to tell you this morning, nobody else can change your outlook on life. Nobody else can change how you perceive a situation. But you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice and say, okay, am I going to live today? You don't have, this is just today. Take it one day at a time. Am I going to live today humble, gentle, patient, and bearing with one another? Or am I going to walk around and just look like I'm mad at everybody? Don't nobody want to be around that. You can't promote unity in that. There ain't no part of that among God. God is happy. God is love. God is peace. God is joy. That's what God is. That's what God has called us to be today. Now, let me stop quit meddling in people's business here. If we go on and we read a little bit further, we read in verse 7, but each of us, grace has been given to. Each one of us, every person who attends service, every person who watches on the internet, every person who participates, we're all part of what makes covenant, covenant. And we're all also part of the body of Christ. Our unity and maturity as a church is not determined by how long we've been established. Our unity and maturity as a church is not determined by how many people that we have here on Sunday morning. And as much as Eric's probably going to kill me, it ain't even determined by how much money we have in the bank. What determines our spiritual maturity as a church and as a person is that we choose our outlook on life. And we look around one another and we see who needs help the most. That's what determines your spiritual unity and your maturity. Listen to what he's saying. The unity and maturity of the church. Well, hold on. Here we go. I lost my place. We are the supporting ligaments, each and every one, that comes together in unity to help not only hold one another together, but also to hold the church together as well. You see, the things that we do on Sunday morning, the things that we do on Wednesday night, the things that we do on special services like this coming Saturday, they're all what determines our unity and our maturity. I want to ask you a question this morning. I'm going to go off the book now. I've had enough of that. Y'all go ahead and start a baby. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you happy? Are you able to find joy? Are you content with where you are? That don't mean everything's going perfect. That don't mean life is just a bouquet of roses. But are you able to find peace this morning right where you are? I want to tell you something. If you're not able to find peace this morning, if you can't find any joy, if you don't feel like your life has any unity in it, I want to urge you to do one thing, and that's talk to God about it this morning. This altar is always open. We'll have people to pray with you if you want to come up here and pray. If you want to pray right where you are, you're more than welcome to pray there too. But folks, I'm going to tell you, if you can't find any peace this morning, you need to take that to the Father and leave it there. If there's something holding you back from who God has called you to be, if there's somebody holding you back of something you can't let go of, today's the day. Now's the time. Ain't no time like the present. Lay it at the feet of Jesus and leave it there this morning. As we stand and sing, oh, how I love Jesus.